The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then, when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus and his mother are invited to a wedding. How blessed that couple is. How blessed the couple who invites Jesus and Mary to their wedding. Jesus raises up that union to become a sacrament, a sacred reality, a manifestation of the presence of God on earth through that couple. Of course, it's an invitation that never ceases, right? Every day, I hope every couple here invites Jesus to their marriage. And that means really opening up in prayer to allow the Holy Spirit to be the one who teaches us how to love one another. Because we know very well that the initial wine runs out. You know, that romance, that experience of being in love, which is beautiful, which is from God already, but it's natural, does kind of run out unless Jesus has been invited to the marriage and we allow him to give us something even better. This supernatural love. This ability to love one another that is not just because the romance, because I really love her. I really love him. And this is really a mystery of love. It tells us that marriage is not a concession that God sort of allows because, you know, we human beings decided to create this kind of invention. And so God says, okay, if you guys want it, I'll let you do it. No. Marriage is God's design, God's beautiful plan from the beginning. That is why government or anybody, not even the church, can tamper with this reality. Because it's God's design. A man and a woman being called by God to become truly one forever. And by the grace of God, as each understands this, what great respect they have for one another, realizing what is within us and between us belongs to the Lord. The way I talk to her, the way I treat her, the way I talk to him and the way I treat him, everything in our relationship, it's so sacred. So I don't want to do anything that may cause any kind of damage to this beautiful gift. And so the Lord teaches us throughout the gospel, and then St. Paul goes on to teach us even more about the importance of this sacrament and what it takes to keep it together. Remember, husbands, love your wives as Jesus loves the church. Okay? Willing to die for her, to sacrifice for her. And that goes both ways. The willingness to pour out yourself in sacrifice, in care, forgetting about yourself for the other. How blessed the couples, marriages, who continue to grow in understanding of this love. And so, this gospel not only refers to married couples, which of course it does, that's the first reality we see, but it refers to all of us because it's truly a sign of Jesus, who is the groom, marrying us who are the church. That's why it goes both ways. Marriage reminds us of the union of Jesus and the church, and the union of Jesus and the church makes us realize how holy and blessed marriage is. It goes both ways. So whether we're married or not, this gospel is calling us to realize, like it said in the first reading, that our builder, God, fell in love with us and marries us. And so Jesus came to fulfill the covenant of love by laying down his life for the church and call us, invite us to respond with all our hearts, mind, and soul to this covenant by saying, yes, Lord, I love you too. I want to be faithful to this covenant that was sealed in blood, your blood, on the altar of the cross. And that's why we come to Mass, to enter into this covenant, to recommit ourselves to this covenant by listening to the Word, by joining together as we, in Jesus Christ, offer our lives to the Father in love. Now, Jesus is the groom, is the new Eve. Mary represents in this gospel the new Eve, a new man, a new woman, a new creation, a new world coming to be in Jesus Christ. Also today, I want to say something about the tragedy in Haiti. At this time, some persons cry out and complain, why does God allow these things to happen? And indeed, it is a mystery. But maybe we have to realize that some persons only complain against God when a tragedy happens, and the rest of the time, they declare themselves to the agnostic or atheist, God means nothing to them. Well, if God is nothing, then why should we complain when something bad happens? Still, indeed, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of suffering is great. And Jesus Christ does not hide that. Jesus Christ did not ever say that those who came to him were going to have success in this world and everything was going to be wonderful and great according to the world. Actually, he said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny his very self, take the cross and follow me. But we do know one thing for sure. When we see a brother and a sister suffering, the Holy Spirit calls us from the depth of our heart to love, to respond with care, to live this covenant of commitment that we have with Jesus, this covenant that we see in the gospel today, and make it concrete by loving the brother and sister who represent Christ. And so as Christians, we don't just sit here and say, I wonder why earthquakes happened. But rather, we ask, what can I do to love? This is an opportunity for everyone to manifest the love in our hearts. In fact, to grow, because it is demanding. Every time that we need to respond to someone who is hurting, it's a call to wake up, to go deeper in love, to go deeper in our capacity to open to the Holy Spirit. And we saw in the second reading, everyone has a gift. Everyone has a talent. God made each one of us beautiful, special. And so everyone has much to contribute to the community, to the family of God, to those who are hurting. And so the Lord has not revealed to us the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of the cross in a full way. But what did he do? He decided to love, and he never backed off from loving, even to death and death on a cross. And so that spiritual battle continues until his second coming. What is the origin of suffering? If you go back in the Holy Scriptures, you will see that it began with the fall, when we rebelled against God. It was not like that at the beginning. We can really say we messed it up. But there's something great that we can do by joining Jesus Christ and loving through suffering, through the difficulties of life. Then we become victorious over suffering and even over death. In fact, suffering becomes an opportunity to love, to care. And we are seeing it already. How beautiful to see so many people responding, caring, wondering, what can I do to help my brothers and sisters? And all the testimonies that you may have already seen of even heroic love and care for those who are in need. That is so wonderful. So out of something bad, much good can come as we respond in love. And that is the Christian calling, to be there, to love, to open up so that through the suffering that is caused by the iniquity in the world, that we can bring the love of the Lord, which is at the end victorious. So we also pray that through this terrible tragedy, much love and much good may be unleashed, may be brought forth to the people of Haiti, and of course to everyone who cares, because the first ones to benefit when an act of love is done is the very person who does it. is touched by God, is transformed by God, by the very act of loving and caring, we're allowing the Spirit to move through us and bring us closer to Him.